Turn to the book of Acts chapter 7. In the book of Acts chapter 7, we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you and we thank you for your word. Lord, if it wasn't for your word, I wouldn't have anything to say, because what I have to say means nothing. And so, Lord, open our hearts and speak to us through your word in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Then the high priest said, are these things so? Now, this is about Stephen being before the Pharisees. Stephen, the great Christian martyr of the early church. And he begins to give them a Bible lesson. And he said, brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell. And God gave him no inheritance in it, not even enough to set his foot on. But even when Abraham had no child, he promised to give it to him for a possession and to his descendants after him. But God spoke in this way, that his descendants would dwell in a foreign land, and that they would bring them into bondage and oppress them 400 years. And the nation to whom they would be in bondage I will judge, said God. And after that they shall come and serve me in this place. Then he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begot Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. Now in this first little part of his sermon, he reminds them about the facts. Remember Jack Webb and Dragnet? Just the facts, ma'am. You know, sometimes you just need to tell people the facts. The facts are, you're here today because of God's word and one man. Think about it. You know, all it takes is one man or one woman in obedience to God's word to change a destiny, to change a family, to change a clan or a culture or a city. When you read the history of great revivals in the past, there are times when the whole town would get saved and every bar in the town would close its doors. And it all happened because one man heard from God and stepped out in faith and obedience. And so Stephen begins his sermon by reminding him about that one man, Abraham, who God spoke to, who was obedient, who left his family, his hometown, and he didn't know where he was going, but he just knew God said go, so he went. And how then he didn't even see the blessings. And sometimes I think we are so spoiled, we think that everything is about us, that we need to see it and it's all about us, but it's not about us. It's about God's plan for the future. And you may just be one small part of what God wants to do in your children or your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren. We don't know. God is the Ancient of Days. He sees much farther down the road than you do and than I do. And so Abraham just obeyed God. He obeyed God not because he saw anything immediately in it for him. He obeyed God because that's what God said and that's what he did. And so Stephen is telling him the facts. You're here today because one man obeyed God. And then he obeyed him again. He waited patiently, sometimes impatiently, for his son of promise, Isaac, whom he circumcised on the eighth day, and then Jacob, and Jacob beget the 12 patriarchs. And then in verse 9 he continues, and the patriarchs became envious of Joseph and sold him into Egypt, but God was with him. Ooh, that's where I want to take my text this morning. And the patriarchs became envious and sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all of his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and over all of his house. Now a famine and great trouble came over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent out of our fathers first, and the second time Joseph was made known to his brothers, and Joseph's family became known to Pharaoh. And then Joseph sent and called his father Jacob and all of his relatives to him, 75 people. So Jacob went down to Egypt and died, and he and our fathers, and they were carried back to Shechem and laid in the tombs that Abraham had bought for a sum of money from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. Now, in the second part of Stephen's sermon, he reminds them of something that we often forget, and that is sometimes we have unhappy times. Good place for an amen, anybody? Sometimes we have unhappy times, right? I mean, we do. In fact, I was thinking if I were going to call this, you know, I have to name it when we upload it on the internet, unhappy happy endings. I mean, this whole chapter ends with Stephen being stoned, so that's unhappy. But then Stephen walked into the portals of glory. That's a happy ending. And so in our life, we tend to think that our happy endings are all wrapped up like an hour TV show that we watch, where all of the conflicts and all the problems get wrapped up and everybody's happy at the end. But sometimes life doesn't happen that way. Sometimes unhappy things happen. And in the one section that I said will be my text this morning from the life of Joseph, it says that the patriarchs become an envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. And so if last week our rod was, you know, was remembering that Jesus Christ was crucified for us, bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, then our rod this week is, yeah, devil, but God is with me. Yeah, devil, it didn't wrap up happy ending, but God is with me. You know, the Bible says if God be, say it with me, for us, who can be against us? And God is with us. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said it. I didn't say it. These are the words of Christ, the Son of the living God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so, yes, bad times may come. Unhappy times may come. Joseph's brothers were envious of him and sold him in bondage to Egypt, but God was with him. Hallelujah. We think God isn't with us when our circumstances are bad. Lord, what did I do? What did I do to deserve this? Why am I in prison? Why am I falsely accused by Potiphar's wife? Why am I in jail? God was with him. You know, it's not over till it's over. Amen. We are living a storybook life that we know will have a happy ending. We've read the back of the book. The ending is happy. So we live an unhappy, happy ending. And why can we live an unhappy, happy ending at times? Because God is with us. Amen? Though I walk through the... Nola sang about it this morning. I said, thank you, Jesus. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm glad this morning God is with me. I'm glad this morning God is with me. I said, I'm glad that God is with me. Where I go, He's there. David said, if I climb to the highest mountain, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. God is with me. You hear that, devil? God is with me. I'll sing it to the angels high. God is with me. I'll tell it to the devils low. God is with me. Yes, they were envious of Joseph. They sold him into slavery, but God was with him. Think about this for a minute. This is that thing we were talking about in Sunday school that we forget in those prison times. in those dark hours when we're sick, when we're lonely, when we're depressed, when we're fearful, we forget, wait a minute, God is with me. God is here with me. He's never going to leave me. Now, I think of some of the other Bible stories in the Old Testament. I think of Naomi. Here's a Jewish woman, has a husband, has a couple boys, famine in the land. They need to get some food. They leave Israel. Her boys marry some women. Midian, is that it? I think, huh? Moab, thank you. I knew it was one of them M words. And then what happens? All the men die. Naomi's husband dies. Orpah and Ruth's husband die. It's unhappy. Sounds like one of them Hallmark movies. But it's an unhappy, happy ending. Why? Because God was with me. See, people die, and God can be with you. You don't understand what's going on, but God can be with you. It doesn't make sense, but God can be with you. Orpah didn't, and Ruth wanted to go, and she said don't, and Orpah went home, but you know the story. Ruth said, where you go, I'll go, and your God's going to be my God. And so Ruth went with her. Married Boaz. Grandson was David. Happy ending. Got the land. How did all this happen? Because God was with him. You know, the world is not writing my story. Circumstances aren't writing my life story. My feelings aren't writing my life story. God is writing my life story. Because God is with me. Karen mentioned Daniel in the lion's den. I love the way Daniel handled the situation. It's against the law to pray. He didn't politicize it. He didn't post his opinion on Facebook. They didn't have Facebook back then. He didn't try to overturn the law. He didn't care. You see, we're to live like kings and priests. We're above all that. That'll get some people in trouble. But Jesus said it. He said, we don't have to pay taxes, but just so we don't offend them, Peter, go fishing, right? We're above the law in terms of God's law, right? So what did Daniel do? He didn't do any of those things. He just prayed. He just did what he was doing the day before the law was passed. And how can someone have that kind of faith and confidence? Because God was with him. God was with him. He just opened his little shutters in Babylon, faced east to Jerusalem, as you're supposed to do, like Solomon said, faced this temple. And he prayed, just like he did the day before. And those who set the laws to trap him said, aha, we got him now. They thought they had him, but God was with him. I said they thought they had him, but God was with him. You may find yourself with your back against the wall, and you may say, oh, the devil's got me. No, God is with us. And they threw him in that lion's den, and the king walked and paced all night long, couldn't even sleep. Daniel's sleeping, probably got the rump of one of them lions as a pillow, laying down there with the angels guarding him. And the king wakes up gets up the next morning. Oh, Daniel, did your God whom you serve continue? I love that testimony. Would that be our testimony? Would people say to us, oh, that God that you serve continually? Was he able to save you from the lion's den? Oh, king, live forever. That was the thing you said to kings back in those days. And you say, well, do you really believe that? Isn't that just one of them nursery rhymes that tell kings? I believe it. Amen. If it's in the bedrock of God's word, I believe it. I believe God sent his angel as he said he did. There was an angel with a flaming sword guarding Daniel. And he slept like a baby in his mother's arms that night. And how can you sleep in a lion's den? Because God was with him. Or I think about Esther, Queen Esther in Persia, modern-day Iran. And Haman spewing out his threats to exterminate the Jews. And knowing that it would be sudden death to walk into the king's chamber uninvited. But here's a woman who said, I go to the king, and if I perish, I perish. How could she say that? Because death is not the end. I said, death is not the end. We know that when we die, we are just moving on to graduation day. Amen. That when we breathe our last breath, whether it's natural causes or someone takes our head off, it doesn't matter. This life, this tent is not our home. We have a home eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, the Bible says. And so by confidence and assurance, we can face death as Esther did. I go to the king, and if I perish, I perish. How could she say that? Because God was with her. I said God was with her. And she went to the king, and she exposed evil Haman, and he was hung on the gallows that he had made for Mordecai. He was hung on his... Don't you love it when the devil gets trapped in his own devices? Don't you love it when the enemy of your soul, it all backfires on him? You know, I heard a sermon one time where a preacher was comparing the devil to Wile E. Coyote. Remember those cartoons where every time Wile E. Coyote made a bomb to get the Roadrunner, that it blew up in his face? I'm here to tell you, church, the devil's bombs are blowing up in his face because God is with us this morning. Hallelujah. I said God is with us. And so, as we continue on in our text, but when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt till another king arose who did not know Joseph. Now, let me just say, that is a type and shadow of the Antichrist. The king who did not know Joseph represents the Antichrist, which we know to be the Pharaoh. This man dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers, making them expose their babies so that they might not live. At this time, Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God, and he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in word and deed. Now, incidentally, God is all in favor of us having an education. But it is not the education of Egypt or of the world that we need. We need to know God. Amen. And so Moses' life is divided in three sections of 40 years. The first 40 years educated him in Egypt. Let's read on. And now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down by the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. Now, let me say another thing here. You can know that God has called you for a purpose, but it may not be the time. Amen. You can have it in your heart that God has got something for you to do, but we have to wait on the Lord sometimes. All right, you can say amen there if you don't want to. That's okay, I understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, men, you are brethren, why do you wrong one another? But he who did the neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, who are you? Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday? And then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. And when 40 years had passed, now, look at that. The first 40 years he was educated in Egypt. The second 40 years he was educated in the crucible of the heat of the desert. Right? The second part of our training comes during the waiting period. We don't want to wait, but wait is the training. I said wait is the training. Waiting on the Lord is the training. Sometimes You don't have to get a word from God. You don't have to have a supernatural experience. You just have to wait, because you know what waiting does? It causes things to sink in. Now, you know what I mean by sink in. You know, things that you had head knowledge of, but you really hadn't learned it. You heard it, you learned it, you heard it, you acknowledged it, but you kept doing the wrong thing instead of the right thing, and you had to mature a little bit. It had to sink in. And so the second 40 years was the sinking in time. And when the 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame and the fire, flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. And when Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight. As he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses trembled and dared not look. Then the Lord said to him, take off your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groanings, and I have come down to deliver them. And now, come, I will send you to Egypt. Aren't you glad that God sees and God hears and God knows? Just because nothing happens when you pray doesn't mean that God doesn't see and God doesn't hear and God doesn't know. Just because the prayer doesn't get answered when you think it should be answered doesn't mean that God doesn't see and that God doesn't hear and that God doesn't know. The devil may be laughing in your face, but the Lord is with us. The Lord sees and the Lord hears and the Lord knows. And then Moses, whom they rejected, saying, man, who made you a ruler and a judge, is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. Now, here's where the sermon starts stepping on toes. He said, now look at this. The Pharisees get it before we do when we read this sometimes. He says, the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to them, this is the one that they said, who made you our judge? You see, when Jesus was calling the Pharisees serpents and vipers, they were saying, who are you to tell us that? Stephen's going somewhere with this, isn't he? He brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. So the third 40 years was his ministry time. This is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, your brethren. Him you shall hear. This is he who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles to give to us, whom our fathers would not obey but rejected, and in their hearts they turned back to Egypt, saying to Aaron, make us gods to go before us. As for this Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And they made calves in those days, offered sacrifices and to the idols, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the hosts of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, did you offer me slaughtered animals and sacrifice during 40 years of wilderness, O house of Israel? You also took up the tabernacle of Molech and the star of your god Remphah, images which you made to worship, and I will carry you away to Babylon. And our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he appointed instructions to Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had seen, which our fathers had received in it. It in turn, who brought with Joshua into the land possessed by the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers until the day of David, who found favor before God and asked to find a dwelling for the God of Jacob, but Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High does not dwell in the temple made with hands, as the prophets say, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? My hand has not made all these things. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. We should practice that to some of these unsaved people we're trying to witness to. We may not get them saved, but we will get their attention. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. You know, what does it mean to be circumcised in heart? It means that your heart can be cut, that it's not a heart of stone. It can be, the things that don't need to be there can be cut away. Which of your prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, in whom you now have become the betrayer and murderers, and have received the law by the direction of angels, and have not kept it. Now, he's done with his sermon now. I think he had his closing argument, so to speak. And they're not given an altar call. The congregation is not right to receive an altar call. They are violent toward him. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed out at him with their teeth. You know, I was watching a Pastor Chuck sermon here a while back, and these were recorded years ago. And he was saying that some of them had went up from Southern California a little farther north to where many of the homosexuals were, and they were doing street witnessing. And they weren't being rude, they weren't being crude, they were just telling them God loves them and inviting them to church. And the following Sunday, a bunch of them came down there, and they were at Calvary Chapel, and they were trying to disrupt the service. And they begin to yell, "Leave us alone." And Pastor Chuck said, when I heard that, you know, they eventually called the police and had them escorted out. He said, when I heard that, it made me think of the time Jesus went to the demonic and the demons in the man said, "Leave us alone." Same spirit. Leave us alone. You will undoubtedly, if you try to share your faith, you will encounter these demons. And they will say, "Leave us alone," and they will be violent towards you. And they could hurt you, and it could be unhappy. But we know the end. The Lord is with us. So when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. And he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see the heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then he knelt down and he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now you say, "Well, Brother Roger, that's an unhappy ending. That's an unhappy, happy ending." Now, the devil probably said to himself, "Well, I shut him up. There is another. Oh, wait, there's another one. His name is Saul. He's watching their coat. Saul. Pharisee Saul, watch our coats, young man, while we stone this guy." And he's acknowledging it. But what the devil doesn't know is that his eyewitness of the martyrdom of Stephen prepares him for a trip to Damascus. And on that road, this young Saul, who's watching the coats, will meet the master. And though he shut up the preacher, Stephen, we see the birth of the preacher Paul, who will write much of the New Testament. I tell you, the devil, say it, Nola, he's an idiot, and he's a loser, and he will always be a loser. Why? Because God is with us. I said God is with us. I've been listening to, there's an old hymn, and I haven't inundated Nola with another request yet. It's an old hymn about Stephen. Oh, did I ask you about that one? There was another one I thought I had sent you. I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. I guess I'm ahead of myself. That's okay. That's all right. We're preparing the church for it. I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. I see Jesus. Oh, get on up here, girl. While Nola's coming, let's have a closing word of prayer. But before we do, let's just take this just a little bit longer. Lord, every one of us at times come under a spiritual attack. We may never know what it's like to have rocks thrown at our head like Stephen, but we all come under attack. And these attacks can steal our joy and make us unhappy. But God is with us. We know you're with us. And so even in our most unhappy state, we know the end of the book. And we know that the ending will be happy. As Stephen goes into the portals of glory and sees Jesus and hears, "Well done." Lord, that's the day we wait for. So if you're here this morning and you have had an unhappy week or an unhappy month, or maybe you'll say 2019 was not the best of years, just remember, God is with you, and He will never leave you or forsake you. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't think I have the words to this, though. Let's see if I can find them real quick here. Well, I don't know why. I was thinking I had sent you a different one. I have slept since then. All right, let's see if we can do this.
Go ahead and start with the chorus.
Okay. I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. I see Jesus over in the promised land. Work is over, now I'm coming to thee. I see Jesus standing waiting for me. Once a man named Stephen preached about the Lord. Folks were saved and folks were healed as they heard his word. Satan did not like it. Soon he had his crowd. And as he was tried, they heard Stephen cry out loud. I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. I see Jesus yonder in the promised land. Work is over, now he's coming to thee. I see Jesus standing waiting for me. As the stones fell on him, beating out his life, Stephen knew he'd soon be through with all toil and strife. So much like the Master, with a heart so true, he prayed, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. I see Jesus yonder in the promised land. Work is over, now him coming to thee. I see Jesus standing waiting for me. One more time on the chorus. Sing it with us. I see Jesus yonder in the
right
hand. Yeah, sorry.
Start again.
I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. I see Jesus yonder in the promised land. Work is over, now I'm coming to thee. I see Jesus standing waiting for me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Nola. Well, aren't you glad that regardless of what happens, the Lord is with us, and we're going to see him face to face one day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Give someone a big hug before you go.